This is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Today on a special one-topic roundtable, President Bill Clinton's legacy and enduring relationship with the black community. Joining us here at WCLK in Atlanta, Bob Meadows, writer for People magazine. Eric Deggans, columnist for the St. Petersburg Times, joins us from St. Petersburg, Florida, and Mary Frances Berry, professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and former chair of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, joins us from Washington, D.C. We should note that was an appointment by former President Bill Clinton. Mary Frances Berry, let me start with you, since you have a personal relationship with this man. Talk to me, if you will, about why I ask him this question, why you believe much of black America has such a close and enduring and endearing relationship with this man.
You can't help liking Bill Clinton unless you are just made up your mind before you ever saw him that you were going to hate him. You can't help liking him because he engages people. It's the voice, it's the moves, it's the way he looks at people without looking around to see who else is there before he focuses on them. It's the warm approach he has to African Americans, the people he calls friends. It's social skills. It's the personal thing. I used to say to people at the end of the Clinton administration that I'd been to the White House so many times that the next every time they invited me, I'd say, oh, do I have to go over there again? Because you were always over there. There was always something. I mean, there were always black people in and out of there, and his ease with them. So it's the personal thing that people see, not just in the black community, but other people. But that's what, that he understands you, that he likes black people, he's comfortable with black people. And he said, you know, after Toni Morrison said it, that he would, you know, was the first black president, jokingly. He even tries to walk like black guys sort of walk on the street. I don't know how to explain it on the radio, but
I think most people can get that picture in their minds. Yeah, exactly. Bob Meadows, let me ask you this, though, and Reverend Sharpton intimated this to a degree, did not say this. I want to stress that. But there will be some who will say at the end of the day and at the end of the administration, that is really all that black folk got from Bill Clinton to a great degree as a whole is a good feeling, a guy that liked them, that appeared on Arsenio Hall, but in the grand scheme of things didn't do a whole lot more than most.
I think that that is true. I mean, that is always what we always come up against with the problem with the Democratic Party is that we always say, well, they just take us for granted. But one of the things that Clinton had in his favor was when he was president, the economy of this country just took off, and black people were swept up in that. Now, sure, we still lag behind white people in every single category, but we improved so much, I believe. And plus, what Clinton did was he brought a sense of inclusion. I personally remember that when he had his first inaugural and Maya Angelou made her poem, it was honestly the first time I ever felt like I was actually a part of this government.
Mm-hmm. Eric Deggans, let me ask you this. In talking about inclusion in the Clinton administration, he used to boast the idea that his cabinet looked like America. He talked about his close relationship with Ron Brown and Alexis Herman
Vernon Jordan,
obviously. But outside of that, this current president, one who does not have the same kind of relationship, can boast that he has given two African Americans two more powerful positions than any other president ever did.
Yes, certainly. Bill Clinton, the interesting thing about Bill Clinton is that his personality and charisma and love for black people, I think, sometimes distracted people from the fact that some of his policies and some of his actions didn't fully back his sentiments. I mean, you look at NAFTA, you looked at welfare reform, you look at some of the things that he did when he was particularly kind of appropriating Republican concerns advancing his own agenda with them. And they weren't necessarily measures that helped black people. And he was able to get away with that because there was this immense sort of personal love that people had for him. And he obviously values black people. But the question is, did he always reflect that in his policies? And there were some pretty big ticket items that indicated that he didn't go as far as maybe he could have.
Mary Frances Berry. Yeah, I was going to say, though, pick up on the idea that Al Sharpton points to the omnibus crime bill as a problem that came about under the Clinton administration. Many people forget the flap that he and Jesse Jackson had. They've become fast friends, but they had over the sister-soldier controversy. And Bill Clinton was a moving force behind the DLC, which assisted in moving the Democratic Party from the left to the middle, if you will.
Yeah, let me just fairly tick off the negatives about Bill Clinton. First of all, he named me to the Civil Rights Commission because the Black Caucus was on his rear about Lani Guinier, who was supposed to be a friend of his, dumping her for no reason at all and not following through on the appointment, some budget cuts that he made in the first term, and they weren't even going to let him speak at the caucus dinner. And then they said they'd let him speak, but if he came, they were going to boo him. So they quickly announced that I was going to be chair of the commission, even though I had criticized him for not changing his Haitian refugee policy, which he promised in the campaign that he was going to start letting those poor people stay here instead of sending them back, and he didn't do it. And I criticized him for a whole bunch of other stuff, and they didn't want to. He always said that when he asked me whether he'd done anything right on civil rights, I'd always tell him I'd give him about a C-, and that's about all I'd give him. Now, Lani Guinier, not loyalty to his friends. Bush is loyal to his friends. He even gives them, you know, medals when they mess up. On the policy side, welfare reform, everybody says it's a great success, but there's been recent stories about all the people left behind and what happened to them. Rwanda, never forget Rwanda. That'll be on his conscience, I'm sure, forever and ever, when he did nothing about the genocide in Rwanda. So that Clinton was lucky in terms of he made some good appointments. He had some good people he appointed, black people who appointed to positions. But on the policy side, the crime, the incarceration that Al Sharpton mentioned of all the black people who are in jail, not just men but women too, and the drug issue and drug treatment. And, you know, we can go down the list of all the things that Bill Clinton didn't do. I think the fundamental flaw with Bill Clinton, he hadn't the courage to stand up and fight for some things that were unpopular, which this Bush guy, who, you know, I don't have much good to say about, does do. He sticks by his friends and he stands up and fight. At the end of the day, Clinton would make a political calculation about whatever it was, and he knew that black people would love him because he loved them, and then he moved on.
Exactly.
Eric, I have suggested, and pick up on that point, but I have suggested that if you really have ever spent any real time with this man, I think those who write that he's the consummate politician really, truly underestimate that. He is. He and Jesse Jackson almost mirror each other in the sense that they are truly the personification of the politician.
Oh, yeah, and I think that's something that people constantly downplay when they talk about presidents in general. When they talk about this president, George Bush, they constantly underestimate the power of their charisma and the power of their personality. And that's something that Bill Clinton was always a master at, not only appropriating the Republicans' biggest points and turning them against them, but also doing it with a charisma that would make the people that he was kind of shafting smile, even as he was pressing these policies that would hurt them. Now, the thing about George Bush, though, you know, his cabinet may be more diverse, but we don't know if they can think for themselves. We don't know how much of what they're doing is their own initiative and how much they're just reflecting George Bush's desires. So there may be more diversity in this current cabinet, but we don't know how much autonomy these people have, and we don't know how much of their culture affects how they do their jobs.
Bob Meadows, well, I was at the convention yesterday in relation to the speech that he gave to the black journalist. He did admit, as Mary Frances Berry suggests, that he had tremendous regret in not moving against Rwanda. It's interesting, and Eric touched on it, the idea that we used to call Reagan the Teflon president, but not much really stuck to those who loved Bill Clinton in terms of the downside of this man.
Well, Monica Lewinsky maybe, you know, stuck to him, I think. And you talk about his legacy, that's probably what he's most going to be remembered for. You know, in speaking about Rwanda, I thought, as you just mentioned, you know, Bill Clinton, perfect politician, speaking yesterday, he says, yeah, it's his greatest regret. He said that, you know, since then he's done whatever he can to make it up to them with all this. Well, yeah, 11 years later, that's great to say. The thing that really struck me most about his speech yesterday was when he brought up the issue of apologizing for slavery. He said he apologized for slavery in Africa, but he said, I would have apologized for slavery if somebody had asked me, to us, black people here in America. And I thought, wait a minute, I know that came up during your presidency, and you didn't. Why? Because it was politically unfeasible to do that.
I would like to jump in, too. One of the things that is interesting about Bill Clinton, I mean, we also have an AIDS crisis here in America amongst black people, and we've had it for quite a while. What did he do during his presidency, and what is he doing now? I mean, I'm glad to see him active in Africa, but what are people doing to stem the HIV infections amongst African American women, which are amongst the highest they've ever been? This question about what is he doing substantively in this country remains.
Mary Frances Berry, one of the things, though, we should touch on, Mary, and then please continue your point. On the plus side of Bill Clinton is if you are around this man and watch him, he is one of the smartest people I've ever met.
Well, he's smarter than almost anybody I've met except Hillary. His wife is smarter than he is. I think, and it is a pleasure.
I haven't spent quite as much time with Mrs. Clinton.
It is a great. It is a great. Well, I haven't either, but I have been spent enough to compare. It is a great pleasure to just sit around where Bill Clinton is, and when he was president, a lot of times, you know, in meetings and stuff, and have him just informally tick off as he did with you when he was talking to you. He's mentioned, you know, what Emory University had just done this study and how many whatever, whatever. He is a walking encyclopedia of ideas and information, and he will pursue them, and he'll talk you to death. I mean, I've been over there at dinners where he talked everybody to death, and I got up and left before he did. I said, I'm falling asleep. I have to go home. You're not supposed to go home before the president. But he's full of ideas and proposals. And somebody mentioned earlier that about black unemployment and the economy. For the first time since I had been keeping track, which was forever, the black unemployment rate was not twice as high as the white rate. 2 years of the Clinton administration. I thought this is fantastic for the first time. But his ideas, while he's a policy wonk in that sense, a lot of them he didn't follow up on. He made a mess, for example, of Haiti. That's why Aristide is in South Africa now. We got him to, black people did. By the way, we did encourage him to apologize, so I just want you to know that. We got him to, as black people, Randall Robinson, me, some other people, got him to go and intervene and put Aristide back in Haiti. But after he did that, he didn't follow up. He took the troops out too quickly, the whole thing fell apart, and it's a mess. So he wouldn't stay the course. He doesn't stay the course, and he doesn't make tough decisions and stand up for people that he should stand up for.
Bob Meadows, let me take the other side of the coin, and that's black America and what they should have looked to from Bill Clinton. I worked at MSNBC through the impeachment debacle, if you will, during the Clinton administration. And almost every day, ironically, if you go back, you would have seen black politicians on the air at MSNBC almost daily, which you would never see in any other period of time. Almost in lockstep, in unison, black America helped, quite frankly, save this man's presidency because they came out and stood steadfastly with this man. He mentioned it just a few moments ago during the interview. In return, one has to say, if politics is tit for tat, I thought black political leadership failed greatly in getting something back from this president during that time.
You know, I think one of the issues, and one of the worst things that happened to Bill Clinton was the fact that Al Gore lost in 2000. His legacy sort of stopped then. I mean, that was 1998, of course, when the whole impeachment thing went down. Clinton didn't have a lot of time left in office. I think what he's doing now is wonderful. I think maybe he was even handcuffed by the office a little bit. You have to be the consummate politician. You can't do what you want. Now we can, and you look at what he's doing over in Africa, and that is a fabulous thing, especially after the way he messed up Rwanda and Somalia and Haiti, too. With the AIDS, he's a big dreamer. 1 million, antiretroviral by next year. That's what he's hoping to get. He's a huge dreamer, and as Dr. Berry said, hopefully he will be able to follow through with these dreams. And so I think that's really where he's going.
Mary, what do you think about that, the idea of black leadership and what they did or did not receive from this man outside of, as I told many of them one night, you got a nice picture in the Rose Garden with him, but that's just about it.
Well, you have to first make this point. Remember that he lost the Congress for the Democratic Party. His being reelected twice was a great personal triumph, political triumph for him, first one since Roosevelt or something, to be reelected. But he lost the Congress. Remember the Gingrich Revolution? And so when he lost the Congress, some of the ideas that he had in mind, he couldn't put into place anyway. I mean, he didn't have the House of Representatives, and then, you know, there were all these political problems. And in a sense, his politics led to the failing fortunes of the Democratic Party to where it is now, the triangulation and all that stuff that he did. And there were a lot of things that were unpredictable. But black politicians weren't hard enough on Bill Clinton. I'm not a politician, but at the commission, I was hard on him. I criticized him for, somebody ought to read the report we wrote on his administration. Some was good, some was bad. But black politicians were seduced by him, too. And so they would lean on him, but they also knew that black people liked them, like Bill Clinton, and they represented black people. And they knew that black guys were giving high fives in the barbershop to each other when they heard about the Lewinsky thing. So that's what I was told, anyway, by my brother.
You also have to bear in mind that black politicians were kind of caught between Bill Clinton and a very aggressive, very conservative Republican Party. I mean, what were they supposed to do? And Bill Clinton was 2 years from the end of his presidency. He was about to be a lame duck anyway. He was coming off of an impeachment. It's amazing that he got anything done after the impeachment was done. He didn't have a Congress. I don't know that there's much that you could have expected from Bill Clinton after the impeachment. He was seriously hobbled by it. And liberal politicians in general, and black politicians in particular, didn't have many options in terms of who else they could turn to
You guys are giving a little more rope than I'm going to give to them. But let me go around the horn very quickly with about a minute left, literally. Give me a grade, legacy-wise, Bob Meadows, what you think Bill Clinton and black America, his relationship to black America. Give me a grade, if you will.
I'd have to give him about a B-, largely because he was lucky enough to have a great economy while he was in president.
Eric, what about you?
Emotionally, I'd say an A-. People love him. Substance-wise, C-.
I'd give him an A on the personal side and for his commitment. I'd give him a B on the policy side, and mainly because of one we didn't mention, not just the appointments, but Mend It, Don't End It, which saved affirmative action during that period and led to us still having it today.
All right, Bob Meadows, Eric Deggans, and Mary Frances Berry, thank you very much for a look back at Bill Clinton and his relationship, continuing relationship with the black community.